Welcome to the PR Moment podcast. Produced in association with the Marketeers Network.
Welcome to this latest PR Moment podcast, and it's our September review of PR pitches and merger and acquisitions in the UK PR scene with Andrew Block. For those of you that don't know, Andrew is co-founder and non-executive director at Frank and is the lead consultant PR, social content and influencer at the new business consultancy firm AAR. And he's also a partner at PCB Partners, where he advises on the buying and selling of marketing services agencies. Before we start, thanks so much to our PR Moment podcast sponsors, the PRCA, and a reminder about our new event, the PR Masterclass, the Agency Growth Forum. At this one event, 22 experts will give 11 masterclasses on the essential elements of managing a profitable, modern and successful PR firm. So do take a look at the website, which we'll include in the show notes for all the details on that. And also a reminder that the final entry deadline for the ESG Awards is the 29th of September. Andrew, how was your summer? Welcome back.
Good to be back, Ben. Had a lovely summer, thank you. How did you get on?
Very well. Yeah, no, a very, very nice time indeed. The batteries recharged and all those cliches.
Good.
Go on, kick us off. New business first. We're sort of reviewing the summer in a sense, aren't we?
What have we got?
It's been a busy time.
Yeah, a lot happened over the summer. So kick off with Moonpig, greeting cards and gifting. They've appointed Instinct, primarily in the first instance to launch a limited edition range of cards and gifts. Instinct, as you probably know, are a sort of consumer with a fashion specialism agency. So maybe they want to sort of put some cool into Moonpig. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they've had a sort of up and down relationship with PR over the years, haven't they, Moonpig? So it's good to have. They flirted between
in-house and agencies, and they did have a relatively decent size in-house team a few years ago, and I think more recently have moved towards an agency model.
Right. And then another one, a good win for Purple.
Yeah, great win for Purple. They have won U Capital, which is spelt Y-O-O, who you may not have heard of them, but they're the real estate firm that are responsible for the Olympia London redevelopment project, which is a huge sort of £1 billion project. So they're going to be looking after global comms for them and their investment portfolio, which is £3 billion worth of properties. It's branding, it's corporate comms. So they're also going to be doing, as part of that, Shepherd's Bush Market, the Savile Theatre and Camden Film Quarter regeneration programme. So, yeah, I mean, there's a real meaty one for Purple.
But it's an interesting one because Purple, they're more on the consumer side, are they? And a bit of retail. So is an interesting fit, an interesting win?
They are. They're consumer, but they have a real strength in premium fashion, retail, right, destination marketing. So, I would think there is a huge retail element to this brief, and that's why they've been brought on board.
Right. And you got an update for us in the donut wars.
Donut wars. So last month, or maybe the month before, Krispy Kreme appointed Good Relations. Now it's Dunkin' Donuts' time to shine, and they have appointed Stir to support their expansion across the UK. I mean, it is a big old company, Dunkin' Donuts, 13,000 odd restaurants across 40 markets.
Wow.
Across the world. It is a traditional sort of PR brief, if there is such a thing, but with an element of digital and influencer. They're still using Punch Creative to handle their social side of things.
Right. Well, the big news is, Andrew, I don't like donuts.
Well, they can send them all to me then.
Yeah, that's fine.
I do like donuts.
And shaving. We're talking shaving next.
Shaving, yes. Wilkinson Sword have appointed Circle for PR, social, community management, paid social. It's quite a big one. Actually, not the PR. That's handled by Clarion.
Right.
Still. Circle have sort of built, a good portfolio recently. They're on a great run. X Factor, Heineken, Mars, Britvic, Pepsi. So since their acquisition by Huntsworth last year, they're going great guns.
Yeah. Well, I think back, it might well have been even been back in my PR week days that I went to Circle and was presented with some sort of shaving product. I can't quite remember the brand, but they clearly have historical shaving links as an agency. So
maybe you should use that product, Ben. I'm a fine one to talk.
This is audio only podcast, Andrew, so they won't know.
They won't know what a mess we both look. Yeah, but we could both do with some Wilkinson sword products, yeah, I think.
I think it's beyond that. I need to go to a proper professional. And talking about health and all the rest of it, news from Holland and Barrett.
Yes, Holland and Barrett have appointed Social Chain to handle their social media and their content. It was a pitch run by myself for AAR. Last year they pitched out their PR, which was run by the Academy. Now they're looking at their social and their content. And Social Chain did a great job on the pitch and looking forward to seeing what they can do.
And I have a suspicion this might be an AAR one for Vision Express.
It is, yes. Double plug for AAR. So Vision Express have just appointed Hope and Glory as their retained consumer agency. They did run a pitch with AAR last year, which sort of tested out a couple of agencies on some projects. Frank won some project work. Taylor Herring won some project work. And now they've decided to go with Hope and Glory for their retained business, right, which will be across several brands. It's part of Essilor. So they also own brands like Oakley, so it's a big remit for Hope.
I didn't know that. So is that a sort of another example of the of brands almost doing a bit of a sort of project based trial with agencies and then testing the scene a little bit and then moving into a more permanent longer term relationship after that project's been successful.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a trend. It seems to be happening quite a lot. It's common sense, really, to sort of try before you buy. And logic tells me that in this sort of market, people are a little bit more hesitant to commit. So they're testing things out. It might not be just to test the agencies. It might be to test the impact on PR. But we are seeing, I mean, I've seen it for the last 6 months, or more agencies that sort of dipped in, did a couple of projects and then been awarded the retained business. I mean, look, it's great for a client because they know what they're buying into. It's good for the agencies because it's sort of they've proven themselves and got the reward off the back of it. So whether it's a trend or something that's always been happening, but it does seem quite a lot of it going on at the moment.
Right. I don't know that we're all on our way to Wembley, but someone's on their way to Wembley.
Well, Spurs aren't on their way to Wembley, I don't think, unfortunately. But Mercia are on their way to Wembley. So they've won consumer and trade brief to promote Wembley to raise its profile as a multi-purpose venue. Maybe I'll make it for a concert one day. And actually, you know, going back to what we were just talking about, they did their campaign last year around Wembley's 100th birthday. And so they've won this business off the back of what I would assume would have been a good job for that.
Okay. And sounds like a big win for Ogilvy.
Yep. Müller Yogurts have appointed Ogilvy for product and brand awareness across their entire portfolio. So it's a nice win for them.
The Müller account's historically quite a big one, isn't it? I don't know the details of this particular one, but in the past, there's been quite a chunky PR budget there.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't know the details either, to be honest, but it's a big brand. Ogilvy are a big agency. I would think it's a decent sized bit of business.
Yeah. And One Green Bean continue their tourist win.
Yes. Yeah, they've just won the Singapore Tourist Board, UK PR and social. It was an open RFP process, which no one likes, really. But
right.
Come out strongly. I've got a feeling.
Just talk us through what an open RFP process is. That's what just for anyone who doesn't know.
It basically means that a company puts their brief on a website and anyone can apply. There's varying ways to do it. It's often quite demoralizing for agencies because they don't get a chance to build a relationship with a client. And it's always that kind of, they're normally pretty big, juicy briefs, and they're normally pretty well written, but you want to go for it, but you don't know the politics.
There's not a lot. There's not a lot of feedback. It's a form filling exercise, and then it's difficult.
It's difficult, and certain agencies are very, very strong at it. Right. I have a feeling, and don't take this as gospel, but I've got a feeling One Green Bean had a relationship with Singapore Tourist Board before,
right,
potentially out of their Australian office. And I don't want to take anything away from them because they've won it, but this is where RFPs can be quite annoying for agencies that are coming in cold because they don't know the history of relationships between other agencies. They don't know if it's being done for procurement. They don't know what's going on. And,
I always found
when I was doing these things, I couldn't get myself that motivated and enthused about them.
No.
And as a result, we didn't win very many of them. But other agencies, yeah, especially government type stuff, agencies are pretty good at it.
It's a knack, isn't it? If you can get, because a lot of the questions are broadly similar. So
yes, to One Green Bean, they're great in this area. They do lots in travel. They do Tourism Australia. They do Virgin stuff, trains.
It certainly makes sense, doesn't it?
A
couple of corporate wins you've seen.
Yeah, a couple of big corporate wins, actually. The AA, Teneo won that, corporate and finance. A brief all around showing how the AA is growing, how it's an innovative company, long-term potential growth, bringing confidence to drivers, that kind of stuff. So nice one for them. And then the second one in that area was Rightmove, the property website, which an interesting stat is represents 95% of the UK property market, which I thought was incredible.
Bonkers, isn't it?
Bonkers. And Powers Court have won the financial and corporate comms brief to handle them.
A win for Frank, we've seen.
A win for Frank. Cupra, which is part of the VW group, probably one of their lesser known brands, but maybe not for that long. Creative social influencer brief for Frank. So they already do work within the VW group, Skoda primarily.
Okay.
It's another brand to add to the roster.
Well, there was a time when everyone wanted to work for a car brand. So nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, and it's hard to win car brands when you're outside of the car specialist area. You know, all these car brands want to build lifestyle brands, and it's not that many agencies that are good at doing it. So.
Right. And then we've saved the big one till last, haven't we?
Yeah, this is an absolute game changer for Axicom. They've won AMD Global, which might be a brand that people aren't familiar with, but they will have undoubtedly used products that have AMD within them. They're a semiconductor brand. So they're a rival to Intel. It's a $164 billion company.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, I would think this brief runs into the millions comfortably.
Yeah.
It's global, 15 markets, corporate, B2B, consumer, social. And I'm really happy for Axicom. They're a great agency. They're the technology PR agency within WPP, but they've been doing some really fantastic creative comms in the last few years for their clients. And I mean, it's an exceptionally brilliant win for them.
Yeah, no, definitely. Cause they've had a good couple of years. The business had Henry Brake there passed away, sadly, didn't he, a few years ago. And they had to put the business back together. And they've done that very well over the past, the UK business, I should say. They've done that very well over the past couple of years. And that, I guess, is this somewhat the culmination of that success.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've seen them pitch to clients a few times and I've always been really, really impressed by them. They're a good agency, really good agency.
And as you say, that will be a chunky old brief and a global brief at that. Moving on to M&A, we should talk about Sassy first of all, I guess. I think that's a bigger deal than people might suspect.
Yeah, it's a great deal I mean, obviously, it was one that I was very close to. So it was Marketeer's first acquisition since taking their investment from Waterland Private Equity. And Sassy, they're a great company. They do a range of production, live events, streaming, social first content, PR distribution. So they were behind, I mean, they did the Barbie premiere streaming this summer, the Oppenheimer streaming this summer, the two biggest moves of the year. They did all the campaigns around the new Honda SUV range. They produce podcasts for people like Audible. So it's a great hire for Marketeers. Marketeers already have solid footing in this area with live and hybrid events and production through the eye, which is one arm of the Marketeers 4DC business. And this really takes them into new areas, gives them an increased depth of capabilities, and it's probably fair to say sort of ups their creative abilities too. Not to say it wasn't before, but yeah, Sassy are really at the top of their game. There's a great buy for them.
Yeah. A lot of the consumer agencies use Sassy, don't they, for their content? So
loads. I mean, it's a smart buy. There will be more to come from Marketeers, I'm sure.
But Sassy's one of those businesses that is, you know, I've always been aware of it, but you have to keep your eye on it because it's got bigger and bigger, hasn't it? I mean, it 35 people, 5 million plus fee income. So, you know, it's in PR land, it's quite a big deal.
It is big. I think it's similar in a way to Marketeers. Some of these agencies that are suppliers to other agencies, people underestimate their size and their scale and their capabilities in their own right. And they're quietly sort of going away, building great businesses like Marketeers, Sassy. You know, they do have clients from the agency space, actually a lot of ad agency, media agency clients, as well as PR. But then
The plan is to keep the Sassy brand separate presence.
So Sassy will remain. Steve Kemsley, who's one of the founders of the business, is going to step aside. And then Michael Simo and Guy Martin, who've been running it for the last however many years, carry on as joint MDs. They stay in the wonderful Elstree, where they've got a really impressive studio set up. So they retain their brand, and there'll be a sub-division of Marketeers 4DC, which is the holding company for the Marketeers.
Definition, an interesting move for them, because they've been on a... Well, give us a background. They've done a number of deals over the past couple of years, and we've talked about a fair few of them on this podcast.
So they've, in the last sort of 18 months or so, they've acquired about half a dozen companies. They tend to go for quite small in size, but very specialist agencies. So they bought Words and Pictures, who are an internal comms company. They bought Red House, which is creative design. They bought Brand Vista, which is a strategy agency. They bought Schwa, which is a tone of voice specialist. And their revenues now have sort of gone beyond the £10 million mark. They're over 100 people. So all these companies are relatively small. They have just taken debt investment from ThinCat, £7 million worth of investment. So, it basically says they're carrying on this journey and continuing to invest. Otherwise, they wouldn't have raised.
Yeah, but it's been a good story, that, hasn't it? And it's a strategy that you can absolutely see why they're doing it, and how buying a good number of micro deals, which are never easy to integrate into the wider business. But I guess the more you do of it, the better you get at it. And the sum of the parts is starting to become pretty sizable.
No, that's right. And it's different from anything out there. I mean, not everyone needs a tone of voice specialist or an internal comm specialist. But I think, you know, what I'm less sure of is their strategy for integration within the group, or whether they're just acting as a holding company and letting them operate as individual businesses without trying to generate a
conference. We'll have to get them on to talk us through it. That's what we need.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. It appears to be working. So good for them.
Just talk us through the debt capital. What does briefly, what does that mean when you refer to that?
It essentially means you're raising money. So most of the private equity firms use debt investment companies to fund their deals. They don't, and I still don't fully understand this, but most of them don't want to finance it out of their own reserves, and they'd rather use the money they've got for other stuff. So they go to people like ThinCats to fund their deals. And then these companies also invest and in their own right. So they're similar to private equity, except they're not looking to build companies and buy and build and that side of things. They're just
a supplier of debt and for acquisitions.
Correct. And ThinCats are pretty prolific. I think I'm right in saying they were behind Waterland and Marketeers in providing debt. I can't remember in the end who ended up doing it, but you know, they've got a good reputation. They, you know, it's not dissimilar to a bank, but they're obviously specialised in corporate investments rather than sort of being more general.
Gotcha. And just, we talked about it in previously on a podcast we did a few months back, but Syneos Health, I mean, you know, we just talked about a £7 million raised by definition. Syneos Health approval of a $7 billion deal that's just come through. Just briefly talk us through that, just to finish
up. Yeah, they've added a few zeros. Yeah. So this was, yeah, we talked about this last time we spoke, I think, or a couple of times before. So it's something that we thought was going to happen, but it's now been formally rubber stamped. So they've sold to a consortium of private equity firms, which essentially will take them private. And there's people like Elliott Investment Management, Patience Square Capital, Veritas Capital, some of the sort of big boys in the market. All of the Syneos shareholders will receive cash for the stock that they owned upon the completion. It's a pretty good deal for them. I won't get too technical with it, but the price that they were purchased at reflects about a 24-25% premium to where they closed their share price back in February.
Right.
This deal was sort of agreed in May after a couple of years of looking. It needed to go through the customary closing conditions and regulatory approvals and shareholder approvals. So now they were on the NASDAQ, so they won't be anymore. They'll be privately owned. We shall see. I mean, PR is a relatively small part of a broader healthcare marketing agency.
I can't quite remember that. It was about 20%, wasn't it? I can't remember. It was roughly what we were talking about.
Yeah, so I can't remember either, so I don't want to make it up, to be honest. But they're offering like clinical and commercial services to the pharma industry. But they already, in the last few months, launched two new agency brands, standalone brands. One was called Sferico. Another was sort of focused on oncology, and that was called Genicos. Like they're building.
Because the healthcare market has had a relatively tough time, isn't it? It's one of those markets that always does pretty well. But I think it's had a more difficult time in the last sort of 6 months, 12 months, and it has
it has. But their PR firms, I mean, probably the most well-known of their PR firms is Chandler Chico. They also own Biosector 2 and Chamberlain Healthcare. Okay. They had a 10% increase in revenue last year. So they're about, I think it's about $115, $116 million now. So, yeah, it's sizable.
Right. Okay. Andrew,
a complicated business, but one that appears to be going in the right
direction. But one that's obviously worth a few quid.
Yes.
Andrew, thank you very much indeed. I shall see you next month.
You shall indeed. Maybe we'll both have a shave and sort our acts out by then.
Thanks for listening to the PR Moment podcast, produced in association with the Marketeers Network.
If you'd enjoyed the show, please do review us on iTunes and give us a decent rating.